Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 29th. My name is Michael Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, and I'm glad you're back. That's awesome.
Thank
you. Glad you're feeling better.
I am. I am feeling better, and thank you very much. I'm just glad to be back. Now, you know, of course, Dr. Hunter doesn't want me to say this, but it was actually her dark magic that got me sick in the first place so she could have the night off. I wasn't going to say anything, but...
That's funny.
But thank you.
I don't
you.
Think I have that kind of power, Michael. Besides, but, I could have, if that were true, I would have found a nicer way of doing it, not making you sick. That's funny.
Thanks to all of our regulars for joining us again. So glad to be back with you. So glad to have you with us. Thank you to those who are catching up with us on the archives. We always appreciate you making time during your day to hopefully have some interesting ideas presented. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Now, on to tonight's topic, past life experiences. And
well, I think you're going to get us off to a start, Michael. You came across an interesting article.
Well, I did. This is an article I'd recommend. It's a New York Times piece written by an author named Sarah Aridi. And she is from Lebanon, and she's from a very specific faith called the Druze. I knew very little about, I still know very little about the faith, but something that was interesting is this article, and I'd recommend you can do a search for it, and they give you so many articles to read free each month if you don't have a subscription. But she talks about, even at a very young age, her older sister would have these memories of a past life, of being a different person, and not only that, of sharing a past life with her sister. In fact, the author, Sarah, was born with light brown hair at the time, when she was a kid, but her older sister would say, in your past life, you had red hair. And their family being Druze, this 1,000-year-old religion, whose adherents mostly live in places in Lebanon, Syria, Israel, Jordan, it is among their faith's beliefs that every human being is reincarnated. Your body is a shell, and your spirit can claim another life form to live on indefinitely. Many Druze say that certain people can remember details about their past lives. It's very common in their culture. In fact, when she had returned to Lebanon, she heard many people tell stories about people who died and came back to life in new bodies. And, you know, over time it became less far-fetched, and especially when you point to certain accuracies within the article. And I'm not going to plagiarize the whole thing, but when you see certain accuracies in terms of what the past life was, it's very provocative, it's very interesting. And it kind of shed light on a belief system that had such a deep belief in reincarnation and past life experiences, and more importantly, past life memories, than really any other. Because even in Buddhism, with reincarnation, you have to become enlightened to remember your past lives.
Well, and there we have the Dalai Lama.
Yes.
When he was a young boy. You know, of course, it's 14 times now, I think.
Yeah.
You know, to be the Dalai Lama. So, I mean, there are many, many cultures that it's just, reincarnation is just a way of life. Not even a belief, it just is, you know, that isness of life. We already have some folks in the chat saying, hey, I have a story to tell. So waiting for Dr. Stephen to write in his to get things started, he had mentioned. So, Alan,
yeah.
Thanks for putting that article in the New York Times link there,
because
Wendy had asked for it. So.
Well, I guess since we have a little bit of time, while we wait for some stories to come in and Dr. Stephen to relay his experience, in relation to that, and especially, you know, this cultural idea and belief in reincarnation and past life memories, especially at a young age, it also, you know, brought about, on a search that anybody can do on Google, it's just readily available information, but you can find there are many cases of young children between the ages of 2 and 5 often that speak about memories of a past life that they claim to have lived. They often show behaviors, phobias, preferences that are unusual within the context of their age or their family situation, their social environment.
Mm-hmm.
There's a researcher at the University of Virginia, Dr. Jim Tucker, who writes about this, and it's just, you know, been very interesting. Some of the things that they talk about are these young children being able to accurately correspond or relay facts in the life and death of a person who's since passed. And they will sometimes have birthmarks or defects that correspond to wounds or other marks from the person of who had since passed. And it's just a very fascinating, you know, phenomena. And it has to relate to something, doesn't it? I mean, children that young, how could they so accurately touch on it?
We can't all be crazy. Well, that's why I say that spiritual memory. You know, we have a cellular memory of this lifetime, and you
right.
have epigenetic memory.
Right.
And, of course, then we have a spiritual memory. You know, that's my take on it. I think the last time we had talked about, you know, the kind of a precursor to tonight's program was sharing an experience that it was in the 1970s when I was in taking Toastmasters, as well as we had this group that would go to my mentor's home every Tuesday evening. And an exercise was for us all to sit down quietly in a meditation with a piece of paper and a pencil and kind of connect with each other and draw a picture. Where did we all know each other? And that was the question. Where did we? Because if we're connected, if this is true, well, we made sure nobody could see anybody else's drawing. And we all sat for maybe 10, 15 minutes. And you know, everybody looks up, we're all ready, and we all drew the same castle, all of us, and determined that it was, you know, what century it was. There was a moat around this castle. Each of us had a different story to tell about that time period, though. I recall being about 5 years old. Somebody else recalled being a knight, you know, and so each of us, but what we all had in common was different angles of the very same castle. I'll tell you, that was pretty mind-blowing. Now, what Frank would say, though, is was there a little telepathy going on? You know, are we sharing thoughts at that moment, or is it truly a past life? And, you know, that's where you're hard-pressed to be convinced. But, you know, he would always instill in us to keep asking questions because, you know, we're not 2 or 5 years old. You know, mm-hmm. we're all young adults and exploring our consciousness. And most of us were also in Toastmasters learning about public speaking, you know, self-awareness, and taking his hypnosis training as well. So it was, we would explore these kinds of ideas. Now, I like to go with the idea that we were all connected in a past life. I mean, it's pretty bizarre that we all do the same castle. But there's many stories like that where people can link up together in consciousness, in that meditation, and, oh, where do we know each other? Not of this lifetime. So there are studies in those ways too. So, I mean, I've always been really fascinated. And I just made peace with, I have lots of memories from going way back. You know, just the other day, Michael, I can't for the life of me remember his name, but it was on the Gaia channel. It was an ad and a clip of a young man who remembers being in Atlantis. And he talks about the civilizations, like before the civilizations that we know, you know, back with the pyramids, and really an extraordinary young man. And if I can find it again, I'll certainly in an upcoming program mention that and share it, because I couldn't find it just now. So.
Oh, well. But, and I do apologize if you hear sounds of Chewbacca in the background. My cat is currently staring down my dog, and they're having some kind of, you know, battle of wills.
Is that because your dog has a bone and the cat's jealous?
Well, I don't know if the cat's jealous, but I know that the dog thinks that she is.
Well, the dog's protecting the bone. So here, let's go to Dr. Stevens' testimonial in the chat, Michael, shall we? Do you want to read it? Go ahead.
Sure. Dr. Steven writes, from retirement, I was made an offer that I could not refuse from the United Arab Emirates located in Abu Dhabi. I accepted the offer, and away I went to establish a nationwide nuclear and radiology emergency management capacity. One day, while strolling across the Corniche, an 8-lane highway that parallels the waterfront, I suddenly experienced severe pain in my left leg. I froze. I could not walk, and the light was going to turn green. I managed to drag myself onto the mid-highway island and waited several light cycles while trying to figure out what had happened with my leg. Eventually, I was able to cross over the other half of the 8-lane highway and ever so slowly walk back to my condo. I called the esoteric skills teacher in California and shared with him my experiences. He told me that I had lost a sword fight on that spot in a previous lifetime and was experiencing the pain again as a reminder. And what an interesting story.
Well, it is, and don't play with swords. Sorry, I couldn't resist. It is an interesting story. It would have been, I think, a wider take on it then would be, Stephen, did you have any flashes afterward of that time period, or a memory coming through in dreams or such that, you know, you could have like your own pictorial or experience of it, not just somebody else telling you that's what it was? Because I think that's, I'm not discrediting anybody, because it's very likely what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
But when you remember yourself, or, and he says he lost the fight, of course.
Yeah. It's
writing in the chat. But it's, I think that past life is, that experience is not imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you can tell the difference between what you're imagining versus something that's a memory, because there's a realness about it, you know?
Memories and dreams and imagination, it feels different.
Yeah.
Memories have an emotional weighting, and it's the emotion that we remember more than anything else.
Exactly.
That's why when you recall events, they can be so distorted between the teller, right? the emotional filter in which we view something is going to color the memory. So, you know, the common phrase, people don't remember what you do for them, but they remember how you make them feel. I think that's actually Maya Angelou.
Sorry to interrupt, Michael. I think we have to be careful, though, about positive and negative hallucinations.
Right.
You know, when we are, because when we have an emotion that, you know, comes with it, our thoughts are colliding and trying to find something to frame the experience. So we can collide a bunch of memories together, or it's not that from that past life, but you're thinking of something else and it gets all mixed up. So then we end up kind of justifying or creating a story that could seem like imagination, but it's not. It's just us trying to make sense of it. But it's really, a hallucination is really where you put something in there that is, and a positive hallucination, I should explain, is when you put something in there that's not real. A negative hallucination is when you insist it's not there when it's right in front of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the difference. So I think that's where emotions, you know, can certainly, you know, mess with our intellect a little bit, and we get collisions. That's all I'm saying about that. But there is that feeling, Michael, it's true.
Oh, sure. But what my point being is that, you know, in Dr. Stevens' case, that he's remembering, it was the intense emotion caused at that event that he's remembering, that echoes through. And I would also say, absolutely, to your point, you know, 100%. You know, that also takes me into the thought, and I think we have some more examples filtering in here too, but I will say this, we, you know, of course, are aware of past life regressions, and I think that is a powerful tool. But I think, you know, it's it is entirely possible, and we know it is, to implant memories that never happened.
Yeah, that's the positive hallucination.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I just want to follow up with Dr. Stevens' story. He said he recalls having died of a terminal infection. Not like from the wound. So he said, I seem to remember that the reason for getting involved in the sword fight, well, seeming to be good at the time, was just stupid. And we're stupid as I was getting my leg cut. I don't know, something. Yeah, you know, kind of look back and say that was dumb. But
and you know, so earlier, the story is don't play with swords. I think maybe play with them more often or practice with them more often. That way in this life, you're going to win.
Well, Ronnie has a story. He's had knee issues for as long as he can remember and would experience little stabbing pains, which he says he would refer to as like little Vikings in there stabbing me on the inside of my knees. I'm sorry, that kind of tickled me. A couple of years ago, he had a past life tarot card reading. And the reader told him he was a warrior in a past life and died in battle with significant injuries to his knees. And, I mean, you could have been a Viking. See?
Mm.
And that makes absolute sense. I have a couple of moles on my body where I know I was stabbed. And it's just annoying. That was when I was killed there, you know.
So, if I'm covered in freckles and various moles, what does that mean for me?
Probably just freckles. I don't know.
Maybe, you know, shrapnel in the aircraft I was flying in World War II.
Yeah, could be. Or maybe one of those torture chambers with all those spikes.
Ah.
Sorry, that was a bad
one. Why would somebody even think up that invention? That person, you know, that's a bad person.
Audra is wondering if do people always have physical connections to their past lives? No, I don't think so.
Think so.
No, I think that it doesn't have to be that. Dr. Stephen was saying maybe you had laser burns.
That's true. We can reincarnate back into time, we think, because of the abstract nature of the post, you know, physical realm.
Let me see. I just want to cover here because we're talking about future lifetimes as well. And who was that was just writing about that? Did you catch it, Michael?
I believe it was, let me scroll back, I believe it was Dr. Edward.
Yep, okay.
Yep, it is.
And talking about Dr. Bruce Goldberg and future lifetimes, and he's also put a link in there on YouTube for anybody interested in that.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'll be checking it out.
For those in the archives listening to this later, just look up Dr. Bruce Goldberg. So, because if you can remember the past and there is no time, it can also be the future. Cecilia is sharing. She was taken to Maryland in this lifetime before coming to the U.S. and shown my white family and where I lived in a past life. It was a dream trance. She was shown photographs of herself and family members being the only... the only Negro among them in this lifetime. So there's a complexity there.
Very interesting.
That Cecilia is sharing of, you know, okay, this is where you've lived and this is where you were and, you know, here's these family. And of course, that would have been, well, you know what? It didn't even have to be that long ago, Cecilia, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could have been in the 1800s, very early 1900s. But it's really interesting.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know, one interesting thing we, you know, often talk about, is everyone reincarnated or are there fresh souls, so to speak? When is the soul created? Are we all energy beings that exist in a realm elsewhere that constantly go into a life form? Can you have a life form that has not had a reincarnated past? So I guess that'll be kind of the open topic.
That is a really good question, Michael, and I think everything has to begin somewhere. And
does it though?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like all the cycles, but one that would come with no memory and would be what they some people call a young soul.
Or a newbie.
Newbie.
He's on his first life. He doesn't know anything.
Well, I mean, that's entirely possible. I mean, anything is possible. I've met some people I'm not sure about, so I don't know.
I've always been fond of the notion that it is awareness of your surroundings or it's awareness of the world around you that brings about the creation of consciousness in the soul. Mm. So as you begin to develop, as you begin to take in stimuli and you begin to process that information, and the simple act of processing your surroundings begins the act of consciousness. I believe that in many cases, a soul can be grown. And I think that, I don't know, I perhaps would just theorize and just, well, throw it out there because it's unverifiable, so why not?
Yeah.
That a soul is grown, and perhaps if it grows well enough and strong enough, it can transcend this world and go into different lifetimes. That's a thought that I'd had years ago.
But, well, and there are people who talk about such things also, ascending into other dimensions of space-time. You know,
yeah. Oh, Wendy.
Wendy's just asked, "Are souls different?"
Yeah, Jinx.
Sorry.
Oh, we were both saying it at the same time, so I said Jinx.
I just had a flashback about who gets the front seat. You know, I remember as kids. Also,
shotgun.
She says, "Are that's what it is? Are our souls in different dimensions at the same time?"
Hmm.
Now, that's a really profound question, Wendy, because we talk about ourselves living in alternate dimensions of space-time and that we're coexisting in other realities. So is there a part of soul energy that is connected or living in that multiple? Because if we're energy, see? But again, I think we have to think of consciousness, not matter.
Well, Wendy's statement brought something to mind. If we are going to abandon the rules of linear time when it comes to reincarnation for our thought experiments here, Is it not then possible? One moment. Excuse me, I had to clear my throat. Is it not possible that you could have two copies of your soul living in the same era or overlapping? Is that possible? I mean, if we're just going to throw out linear time at all, why not?
Well, Audra has a question. She's saying, I was not born with any birthmarks, moles, injuries, but I injured myself multiple times when I was young that have lasted the rest of my life. Maybe would that be something a future me would experience? And that's what she likes to ponder. See? So I'm just taking it in different places here, Michael, of
yeah.
alternate dimensions, but future. Like, would she take that injury with her, or is that, then I'm going to propose, is she injured in another dimension of space-time? So are we all connected? Is something similarly happening?
Yeah. And also, just to continue on to Cecilia's story, she had said, it seemed as though I had died as a young girl being white. Now I still get glimpses of that person, that energy as a guide. And I think also, you know, first off, it's fascinating. And I think also it is completely revelatory that we are all the same star stuff. We're all energy. And so often the importance we place on these minor cosmetic surface differences is just, you know, pointless. You know, it doesn't show the truth of who we are.
No, that's true. I love this conversation. I would like to throw in, just because it's a great story, and I know I've told it on this program before, but it is one of my highlight stories of when I was a young girl, 16.
Oh, Dr. Hunter, I don't know if we have time. I'm kidding, of course. I'd love to hear it.
A long time. a good friend of mine was having nightmares and being burned at the stake as a witch. So finally, one day, I encouraged her to, you know, tell her mom because she wasn't sleeping. You know, it was kind of awkward. A lot of stuff going on. And her mom, and I was there, and her mom didn't say a word. She went to a trunk and brought out a picture of a woman that looked exactly like my friend. And it was a very old antiqued photo. And she said, that's your great grandmother, great great grandmother. And she was in fact burned at the stake. And actually did she, of course, my friend didn't even know that her friends had come from the U.S. or her family had come from the U.S. So sure enough, you know, right around the, you know, around Salem and all those other places. But she had a great, great history there in her family. So what she was picking up on is that cellular, that epigenetic memory.
In that very interesting.
Case. And, you know, these nightmares coming up, so that emotion had carried on. Now, what's even further interesting to that, in my view, is when we were young, her and I would, we'd have our little witchery books, and we were exploring all kinds of...
I'm trying to communicate with Satan. Go on.
Yeah. Well,
quite, but, joking.
And, you know, we were always, you know, doing readings and things for each other. But within about 3 years of that experience, right about the time I was, 19 or 20, she converted to being a really radical Christian. And her room was white. Everything, you know, she wore white. And she was terrified of anybody persecuting her. She would not read tarot cards anymore. She would have no talk at all about New Age stuff or, you know, no, that was all evil. Like something snapped in her. So that impact of that memory, accepting that memory, and she kind of lost a piece of herself. Now, I was in touch with her probably about 5 years ago. So we go back a long way.
Well,
and she never married. She still lives in her parents' house. She did adopt a young girl who was in need of care when she was about, a young child. So she raised this daughter, looked after her parents, and was like led this very almost monastic kind of a life. It's really interesting, that impact of that lifetime. So that's not a past life, but it felt like that to her. So she was reliving it here.
That's fascinating. And to cause such a visceral reaction. I mean, and she wore nothing but white, as if to signify her purity.
Yeah.
Even after Labor Day.
Smarty.
But, you know, it's still, it's just one of those things that would be so shocking that she would do anything to it. And it's so sad that she would be bullied into a sort of behavior because she didn't want to be persecuted again for something.
But it came from her own consciousness. Like, nobody really did that to her.
Right.
She elected. And it was kind of like being possessed by her, you know, great-grandmother. It was kind of crazy. Yeah. You know, Audra is saying she believes that emotional genetic memory goes back 7 generations. Now science is saying 14, Audra. To the best of my knowledge, that they can ascertain that we carry at least 14 generations of memory in our bodies, you know, connected with our DNA. But I'm going to say it goes back further, way back.
Well, I mean, but how strong? I mean, is it just as strong on generation 14, 15, 16 as it is 9, 10, 11? I mean, I think it has to taper at some point. But I do think there's a massive amount of data in our DNA that we just don't understand yet.
Yeah.
There have been several, you know, interesting science fiction, you know, movies, books, games about the idea of this genetic memory and ancestral memories. And as I've always said, I think the fiction is a wonderful tool. I think it's actually an evolutionary tool of humanity to prepare ourselves, our societies, for new knowledge and new information.
Well, you know that Mad Max was set in the year 2021, don't you?
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Scary accurate. No, I have. But it has been a little while since I've seen the original Mad Max. But
yeah, it's an old one. And it was by the year 2021, we're all, you know. Anyway,
you know,
look
funny.
It up, people, if you want to know more.
It's always funny.
This is about time. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, it's just as a little aside, it is funny when you watch fiction from, you know, years ago. Like I was being a, you know, big old nerd. I was rewatching SeaQuest. It's a short-lived show from the early 90s about this advanced submarine. And the year it takes place in, it, like, is 2022. I'm like, okay, that's next year, and we are definitely not colonizing the ocean. So
that's funny.
Anyway.
Well, Michael, I did put in the chat, would anybody like a card. Let's draw some cards.
I think it's that time of the evening.
And there's,
you know, it's been a good discussion.
Names coming up already. So just for those who are listening in the archives, Michael draws self-discovery, inner oracle self-discovery cards. And as a support energy, I draw a tarot. I have my cards fanned across the table, and we see what happens.
All right. So for our first draw of the evening, we have Ione, and I'm going to pull the inner oracle card and see what we have. I have number 31, Sacred Obligations.
All right.
Let's see. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and much more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Well, in support of that is, you know, I have to take a minute, Ione, to figure out how this works, but sacred obligations with the first card of the tarot in the major arcana, which is the Fool. I know, it's such a weird name to be given.
Kind of a misnomer.
I know. But it's that adventure. It's that... So I'm going to say here that those messages together is embarking in a new journey, just touching base with yourself. And, okay. She said she's currently dealing with a dear friend who has no family and he's dying of cancer and she's taking care of him. So I totally get that. So it's, so as you embark, once his transition occurs, Ione, it's keeping in mind that you have a new beginning yourself. And, you know, it's, this is a difficult time, but it's also a sacred time. And I have said many times in my life, when you're given the privilege of helping someone through the transition of death to the other world, it is such an honor and such a privilege, however painful it is. Mm-hmm. And I know humanly we deal with a lot of emotion, but that is truly a sacred obligation. So in this, in the Fool and that new beginning, it's your friend's new beginning and the transition to the other side, but it's also your new beginning. Just, I would only add to not let part of your spirit go with your friend. That's all. You can, you know, help someone go through it, but then call your own name back so that you are intact. Hmm. And that's the key for you on this side, Ione.
Very good advice.
Yeah. Wow, that was a big one.
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
I hope it, you know, hope it provides comfort and guidance going forward. This is definitely a rough time, but it's a very honorable thing, an honorable task.
Yes, but it sure is. So we have Edward up next. I believe Edward.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
and
see what
I
we
have
for Edward.
Number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning what is yours and releasing the rest.
King of Spades is a support energy to that, Edward. So it's being firm in who you are. You know, a lot of people think that it's not good to be assertive, but they also think the King of Spades is aggressive. Like, mm-hmm. He has that in his nature. But in this case, you know, with take and release ownership, it's and with the King of Spades, I think that's you being self-responsible and being assertive and drawing a boundary in some matter at hand. So that's kind of where I'm going with that. Hope it makes sense.
All right. We have Ronnie up next.
All right.
And I have number 26, energy signature.
Good one.
This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe that a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Well, I got the Hermit in support of that, Ronnie. And how I see that is in like something inside yourself. It comes to mind what I said to somebody today, you know, about how we all move forward and keep moving forward unless something behind you is biting your heels. You know, and that's in our own experiences of life. It's sometimes the past wants to be heard. That's kind of where I'm going with this. The past wants to be heard, so you have to stop and have that relationship with yourself. So, and that changes your energy signature, for sure. So, I'm with the Hermit is saying going within. That's why I'm saying that. So maybe there's something you need to remember in yourself or something you need to address. and embrace that. You know, decide, is that something you want to keep, you want to change? And then you can keep moving forward. So energy signature.
All right. And let me see who we have next. Just added mine, but it just escaped my memory. Jamil, of course.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, I got some 30s tonight. We have number 30, Greatness to Deliver. Good card. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. I always love that one.
Well, while you're pulling those cards, Michael, in the 30s, I just pulled another major arcana. And for Jamil, it's the Empress. So your greatness to deliver, supported by the Empress? Wow, that's enormous. That's the seed planter, it's like growing a garden in yourself and what you're doing with your life and moving forward. So, Wendy just said he had that card back in January. So you're onto something here, Jamil, and don't let go of that. You know, stick to it. And because now the seeds are planted and things are growing. The Empress, in a word, is fertility. We don't take it literal. You can take that metaphorically. So it's things that are now growing. So good for you. I want to say to you, Jamil, keep going. Keep on it. It's happening. Even if you can't see it right now, it's happening. It's coming along. All right, Michael, I think we have Audra next. I lost Michael.
Nope, I'm right here. I just muted because I had to clear my throat. And I forgot to unmute myself. That'll happen.
I thought maybe the dog was biting your ankle or something.
Oh, no, he's currently locked out of the broadcast room.
Good.
But, all right,
what have
Audra.
What you got for Audra, Michael?
Getting some special energy for your call out to C-Lab. Always respect that. And number 28, do no harm, do right. I almost feel like I pulled that. I didn't pull that one earlier tonight, did I? Because
nope.
I did put the cards back in the deck and kind of just reshuffle generally, but
nope.
Sounds very familiar. All right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Audra, I got the Ten of Clubs to support the do no harm, do right. So here's what I'm inclined to want to say. Everybody has challenges, and in the world today, it can feel challenging, and people's moods are kind of erratic. But this is saying, and it's assuring you, you're getting to your destination, even though it feels challenged. You might feel a little bit burdened and overwhelmed at times. And maybe this talk it up to a bad day, but stick to your principles. Stick to... You know, it reminds me of this friend of mine. She had a guy screaming at her at a drive-thru the other day, and she smiled and waved at him. Well, lo and behold, I found out today, she went back to that same drive-thru to get a coffee, and there he was, leaving as she was going in, and he's staring at her, and she smiled and waved. So that's what I want to say to you, Audra, is hang in there. You're getting to where you need to be, and that's what's important to you.
Very nice.
All right.
Very nice. All right. And I believe we have Ronaldo next. Let's see. Our first wild card of the evening. We have wild card number 8, Freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, in support of that, Ronaldo, two cards came out. Well, I pulled one and I said, okay, what's that about? And I pulled another, to be fair. Freedom and the Three of Spades, and that's disappointment. That could be a sadness or, you know, feeling disappointed in some way. And then I pulled another supporting card, which is the Ace of Hearts. So it can be that you're disappointed in someone or something. And it's going to be okay, though. So it's a freedom. You know, everybody has the right to choose their own path and to make their own decisions, even though we don't agree. Mm-hmm. But it could also be Ronaldo making decisions that other people don't agree with, right? So you can be disappointed in people not giving you the support that you want. So just that disappointment in some regard. But it's overcome. And what I'm seeing here is a lifting of the heart. So you'll get through it. So, again, I want to say to you, hang in there. You know, work through it, ride it out. It's okay.
All right, very nice. All right, we have Kevin up next.
All right.
All right, Kevin. I have number 45, Inspiration and Motivation.
Inspiration, Motivation.
Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life that you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. Great positive message.
Well, and the Page of Clubs supports that, so it's in communication. So you might be giving a talk or having a conversation with someone where you are inspirational, Kevin, but also someone may be inspirational to you. So if you're in a situation right now where maybe you're not feeling too inspired, you know, get a good night's sleep. Tomorrow's a new day, and you know, the words will come naturally. The words will flow. That's what I'm inclined to say. So that's kind of a distorted message, I think, in a way. But that's kind of what I have for you is in talking with people and, you know, it kind of propels itself, doesn't it? Well, we feel inspired for a moment. We get talking about it, and then we're more inspired. And that's what I'm saying. But right for a moment, though, it's the feeling of maybe not feeling inspired, but it comes back. So that's always those cycles of energy. All is well, is what I want to say.
Good message. Always good to hear. All right.
Wendy.
We have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
Yeah.
And Wendy, another wild card for you. This is wild card number one, Paradox. Long-time listeners know, my personal favorite. Let's see. A truth can be found in seemingly contradictory ideas. What may seem like a false proposition can be a set of new ideas and ways of thinking. Your solution may lay in the opposite direction than you think. Keep in mind that the cosmos works in equals and opposites. Not all truths lay in common opinions. This may be a time for contrarian thinking and opening your mind to what may not make sense at first, and thus new perspectives are discovered.
Well, Wendy, if you love that one, you're going to love the sun as the supporting energy to that. All things are growing, sun is shining, and, you know, it's thinking carefully and understanding that life is that paradox, kind of is. And I like that kind of energy myself, but this is assuring to you that your world is growing, your consciousness is growing, and Oh, and she's saying she had that card a couple of times, Michael.
Ah, patterns.
In February and in April. So it's come again. So, you know, it's seeing the world. The more conscious you become, the more you see. And then the more you see, the more you question. And the more question, you get answers, and you become more conscious, and then you have more questions. And that's an ever-present kind of energy that once you open that door to knowledge and to observations of the world, it doesn't stop. You know, it continues. And that's where I feel this is at for you, Wendy. You're opening new doors in that and seeing new realms and other kind of points of view. Or seeing the same things in different ways that you hadn't thought of before. And that's what the sun does. It's all growing. So
yeah.
I like that message. So Michael's just messaged me, and I know we got some stuff going on in the chat.
Yeah.
Dr. Stephen would like to talk about exorcisms and such. But, you know, we can't talk about that on this program, Stephen. It's really against the church and the school's principles. And while I appreciate the topic, and I know we could probably have a great discussion about it, I think we have to leave that topic, you know, to you guys and your own private messaging. How's that? So I'm making a call here, Michael. That's what I'm doing. So,
gotcha.
I don't want to avoid it and just ignore it and pretend it wasn't mentioned with other people, you know, talking in there in the chat room. So I think it would be a discussion Dr. Kelly would not approve of, knowing him as well as I do, and you know him better, Michael. So I think in keeping with the school and the church's principles of belief, we'll leave that topic alone.
Well, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, entities only have the power that we give them. But nonetheless...
Yeah. Yeah, and there's lots of cultures who, you know, certainly do practice that and believe in that. And I'm, you know, I've got some stories and things I've seen myself that defy explanation. But it's, again, we have to stay in context with our program and what our purpose here is. So that's a judgment call I'm making.
Well, and, you know, we're here to... You know, talk about interesting topics, of course, but
yeah,
we do have a certain focus we try to adhere to as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah, so
all right. So
I think that what we'll do next week is anybody feel free to come in with topics, and we'll leave it an open mic kind of thing for next week. How's that, Michael?
I think that works just fine, unless either of us get struck by inspiration. As always, I reserve the right to change the topic at the very last minute, up until you get the notice on Wednesday.
Well, I love October. You know, this is the wind down of September. I love October, and it'll be the first, I would call that the wonderful Halloween month, you know, and it's autumn. And so I thought, well, you know, let's just leave it open and see how many witches we can count flying around out there or something, you know. So,
fun times.
It is.
Yeah, it's coming.
Thanks, Michael.
Oh, it's been a great discussion. It's been a good time. You know, we've explored a lot of interesting topics, going over these, you know, past life experiences and kind of exploring, you know, different cultures, exploring different stories. Dr. Hunter, you were relaying your personal experiences and stories from your past and your friends' experience, which was very profound. You know, these are all just, you know, great things that just make you think about the world in different ways, and that's really what we want to do. So... You know, I think, I was thinking as a topic next week, we might just be able to talk about why is it that my pets are quiet all night long and sleeping up until I do this, and then they want to meow and play and make noise. It's got to be some kind of supernatural force at work, but we'll figure it out.
It's like kids, you know, I'd have kids when my kids were young and living at home. Nobody even talked to me all day long until I got on the phone, then everybody wanted to talk, so... You know, that's the way it goes. They don't want you to be distracted.
That's funny. So, Murphy's Law, as they say.
Yeah. I just want to sign off by saying all the best to you, Ione.
Absolutely.
Expecting a call from the hospital, and we're with you. We're sending you lots of good energy, and stay strong.
Yeah, you're not alone. Not alone. Yeah. Well, as we sign off, any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
No, I'm good. I can't believe it's the end of September, to be honest, and this year's just flown by.
It has.
I'd just like everybody to stay well. And I know it's a complicated, weird world we're in, but, you know, find that sweetness, everybody. Stay in that sweetness. Find those really good little things and hang on to them, because that's what's going to sustain you through all these difficult days.
Absolutely. Good advice, Dr. Hunter. Good advice. So stay safe out there. Think about some interesting things that you can bring to the conversation next time to make my job easier. But we're going to have a great discussion. We're going to explore some ideas. We're going to push the boundaries of thought. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.